Grace be unto you and peace from our triune God, God the Father, who created us, God the Son, who redeemed us, and God the Holy Spirit, who sanctifies us. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today is Trinity Sunday. Today is the day that we focus our attention on yet another unique aspect of the one true Christian faith. Today, we humbly set aside our innate need to be able to understand and explain everything in a way that fits in between our ears. Today is the day that we confidently celebrate the incomprehensible. Today is the day that we rejoice. We rejoice in knowing that the one true God, the one living God, is the triune God, three individual distinct persons within one divine essence. While the word Trinity is not to be found anywhere on the pages of the Holy Scriptures, the teaching of the Trinity is clearly brought out throughout the pages of the Bible. From the "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness" of Genesis chapter 1, to the threefold blessing that the Lord God gave to Aaron to pronounce upon God's people, the same threefold blessing that we use in most of our worship services today, from the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River to the great commission that the risen Christ gave to his church, the Scriptures very clearly bring out that the one true God is indeed the triune God. Today, as we gather together to celebrate Trinity Sunday, we are also beginning a new sermon series. The overall theme of this sermon series is amazing truths about our amazing God. As we begin this sermon series, let's see how these words from Romans chapter 8 remind us of this truth. Only the triune God can deliver what only the triune God can offer. Have you ever been in debt to someone? Most of us would probably have to answer yes to that question. Some of us may have financial debts that we are repaying or had to repay, a car loan, a student loan, or a mortgage on our house. And yet, even if we never ever had any kind of financial debt, we all have someone to whom we owe a debt of gratitude. Whether it's our parents or our grandparents, whether it is a family member or a friend, we all have someone in our life who has always been there for us, someone who is always willing to help us, someone to whom we owe a debt of gratitude. In the opening verses of our text for today, the Apostle Paul reminds us of how and why we owe a debt of gratitude to the triune God. Look at what the Apostle Paul says. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. A more literal translation of, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, would be this. Consequently, brothers, we are debtors. As Christians, we are indeed debtors. The debt that we owe is to our triune God, certainly not to our old sinful nature. Our old sinful nature never did anything for us except to cause problems. Problems that always end in death, both physical death as well as spiritual death. The debt of gratitude, however, the debt that we owe to our triune God, flows from the fact that God the Holy Spirit now lives right here in our hearts. When you stop to think about it, my friends, the blessing of having God the Holy Spirit living in our hearts is one of the amazing truths about our amazing God. The blessing of having God the Holy Spirit living in our hearts means that we have the assurance that we will live. God the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the power to live for our God as we are journeying through this world. God the Holy Spirit is also the one who gives us the privilege of knowing that we will live with our God forever in his eternal heavenly home. The blessing of having God the Holy Spirit living in our hearts also means that we have a very special relationship with God. We are the sons of God with all the rights and all the privileges which that special relationship brings with it. Paul will talk about those rights and privileges in just a moment. The practical application of having God the Holy Spirit living in our hearts. The practical application of being the sons of God is that as we journey through this world, we are being led. It is a continuous process. We are being led by God the Holy Spirit, using his holy word as a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. God the Holy Spirit keeps us on that narrow path that brings us home to heaven. Like the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that guided God's people in the wilderness, God the Holy Spirit now guides us so that we can live our life in a way that is pleasing to the one and only true God. That is an amazing truth. The second amazing truth about our amazing God is found in verse 15 of our text. Look at what Paul says. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of sonship can also be translated as the spirit of adoption. The term the spirit of adoption automatically reminds me of the sacrament of holy baptism. When we were baptized with water in the name of the triune God, the heavenly Father himself adopted us as his dearly beloved children. The amazing truth that we have been adopted by the triune God results in two amazing applications. First, we no longer have any reason whatsoever to fear God. Think about what that means. Before we were adopted by the triune God, we were overwhelmed with the fear of God. We were afraid of his justice. We were afraid of his judgment. And by that, I mean his eternal judgment. We were afraid to be in his presence. Think of our Old Testament lesson for today. We were even afraid to speak to him. All that fear, my friends, all that fear was washed away through the sacrament of holy baptism. What an amazing truth, a truth that has been revealed to us by our triune God. The second amazing application that comes from knowing that we have received the spirit of sonship, the spirit of adoption, is that we are now able to say with Paul, and by him, we cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba is an Aramaic term. It's a term that expresses a deep, close, and personal relationship with someone. The deep, close, personal relationship expressed by the word Abba comes out very clear when we understand that the word Abba is used only two other times in the entire New Testament scriptures. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed to his Abba, Father. And in Galatians chapter 4, Paul writes, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. What does this mean? This means that because we have received the Spirit of sonship, because we have been adopted by the triune God himself, we have the amazing privilege of approaching the throne of the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, the God who knows all things at all times. The God who knows each and every star by name. The God who knows how many strands of hair we have on our head. The God who opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living creature. We have the privilege of approaching his throne at any time and for any reason, humbly saying, Abba, Father, I need to talk to you, confidently knowing that he will respond with, Come, my child, how may I help you? The fact that we have received the spirit of sonship, the fact that we have received the spirit of adoption, the fact that we have been given the privilege of approaching God's throne of grace at any time and for any reason. Now that, my friends, is a truly amazing truth. Look into your own heart. Look into your own life. Most of us will be able to see that there were and are countless times when we need the help, the guidance, and the protection of our triune God. It's not unusual for us to find ourselves overwhelmed by situations that are completely out of our control. For example, since the cost of living here in Northern California is so very high, it's not unusual for God's children to turn to their Heavenly Father and ask Him to provide for their daily bread. Since faithfully standing up for the truth of Scripture can quickly bring a very heated and hated backlash from the unbelieving world in which we live, we need to remember that we need to turn to our triune God and ask Him to protect and strengthen the gift of saving faith that He Himself has created in our hearts. And since there are times when even our family and our friends may fail us, we always need to remember that we can turn to our Abba, Father, ask Him to wrap His all-powerful and all-loving arms around us, and He will. That is an amazing truth, my friends, a truth that has been revealed to us by our triune God. The final amazing application of the amazing truth that we have received the spirit of sonship, the spirit of adoption, is found in the closing verses of our text. Paul writes, The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Take in the confidence that those words exude. Every time we come into contact with God's holy inspired word, every time we approach God's altar to receive His holy supper, God the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. The word that's translated here as testify can also be translated as show to be true or give evidence in support of. No matter how frantically the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh try to douse the flame of faith that God Himself has created in our hearts, God the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. He leads us into an even deeper understanding of the truths of Scripture and shows this to be true. He leads us to the foot of the cross on Calvary's Hill and gives evidence in support of this truth by assuring us of what God the Son has so freely done for us. The confidence that comes from knowing that we are the children of God gives us the confidence of knowing that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Do you know what this means? It means that everything our risen Lord and Savior received from His Heavenly Father also belongs to us. The victory of Easter Sunday, the triumphal return to the glory and perfection of heaven, the security and the happiness and the unparalleled riches of our Heavenly Father's kingdom, they all belong to us, my friends. While the full realization of this truth will not come about until after the trials and the tribulations of this world come to an end, our inheritance is a sure thing. Our inheritance has been guaranteed to us by the triune God himself. Now that is an amazing truth. The amazing truth that our triune God is the only one who can deliver what our triune God can offer brings us back full circle to the opening words of our text. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, or more literally, consequently, brothers, we are debtors. When we look at everything the Lord our God has done for us and is doing for us, when we look at everything that our God has given to us and will give to us, we humbly recognize that we owe a debt of gratitude to our triune God that we will never, ever be able to fully repay. And so on this Trinity Sunday, my prayer is this: may God grant that every single day we consciously strive to be led by God the Holy Spirit, that every single day we pray to God the Father, our Abba Father, and that every single day we enthusiastically rejoice with our co-heir, God the Son. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.